This morning, I want to share with you a message called Ride of a Lifetime as a part of the Flourish series that Philip has been doing. Last week, I think he explained to you a lot about salt. If you missed out and you don't know too much about salt, you can go back and watch the video. You'll know a lot by the time you're done. And so he walked you through the idea of us being the good salt and making a difference in the lives of other people. You may have gone through, and you may know this guy, a guy by the name of Henry Blackaby. Henry Blackaby wrote a study called Experiencing God. Anybody ever been through Experiencing God? Wow, that's great. Here's how it sums up, just for those of you who have not been through it. I'm going to give you like the cliff notes. We're going to be just right into it. Here's how Experiencing God works. Find out what God is up to, right? And what? Join Him in it, right? Find out what God is up to and join Him in it. I love that whole series, Experiencing God. If you've not read his book, Spiritual Leadership, you need to get that book. It's an incredible book by Henry Blackaby on what it means to be a spiritual leader. But to really flourish as a believer, you must align yourself with God's kingdom agenda. You must figure out what it is that God's up to, what it is that God wants to do, and what God wants to accomplish on this earth, in your city, around the world. What is it that he is up to, and how can you partner with him in it? And this morning, we're going to look at just one passage. And in this passage, we're going to pull four things that I believe that is obvious that God's up to, that he was up to back when the New Testament was being written, and that he's up to right now. And all of these things are things that you and I can come alongside, and we can kind of get in alignment with God, and we can serve God in accordance with his will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Listen, what you don't want to do is kind of come up with your own version of Christianity. I just want to make this very clear to you. This doesn't work like this, that you go out and you draw up your own plan and that God is an architect that kind of gives you a seal of approval. In fact, what God wants you to do is to, even as you're laying out the plans, Proverbs says, man lays out the plans and God directs the path. Even as you're writing the plans, you're writing them with a number two pencil. And you're saying to God, God, this is what I sense that you're doing in my life. This is the direction that I sense that you're taking me. But just like Jesus said to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to tell you, if you want to experience the ride of a lifetime, stop trying to get God to do things your way. And relax a little bit and know that his way is incredible. And if you can just come alongside him and you can get on in alignment with what it is that he's up to, you'll start to sense the Holy Spirit coming. You know what's exciting to me is that Jesus not only came to this earth so that those of us who have a personal relationship with him can now spend eternity with him, but Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it what? Abundantly. Anybody looking for some abundant life? That's what Jesus wants for you. And you can have it when you're doing what it is that he's telling you to do. One last thing before we read this verse. Some people have misinterpreted. In fact, a whole doctrine was set up around this. The verse was that God would give you the desires of your heart, right? So the prosperity movement was put into place that said, hey, whatever I desire, God will give me, right? I desire a fancier Kia Soul. You know, I guess there is one. I desire a bigger house. I desire a better job. Whatever it is, whatever I desire, God will give me. That is not how that works. What happens is that God will give you, put into you the desires of his heart. All of a sudden, he plants the desire that he wants you to want, and now all of a sudden you want what it is he wants. You once were materialistic and you once were about yourself and you were all about your own agenda, but now all of a sudden you find yourself wanting to give away, wanting to be generous, wanting to sacrifice for other people because God has in fact given you the desires of his heart and now your heart wants what his heart wants. That's when we know that the Holy Spirit of God is living in us and that we're in alignment with God and what it is that he's up to. Look here at these verses here. Galatians 6, 1 through 10 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. There's a few things right there that I know for a fact that God is up to and that God wants you and I to join him in it. Here's the first one. And brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore the person gently, but watch yourselves or you may be tempted. Here's the first thing that God is up to. He's in the business of restoring broken people. So we should restore those who are struggling with sin. You ever had your life a little messed up by someone who was messed up? They had some issues, they had some things going on. And in some ways you find yourself wanting to pull back, and you probably in many ways need to set up boundaries anyway so that you can be healthy and help other people at the same time. But the fact of the matter is, prior to the pandemic, it was already getting bad. But now things are even getting worse in some ways. I have a friend who was addicted to smoking weed. You say, well, you can't be addicted to smoking weed. Yeah, you can. It's not a chemical addiction. It's an emotional addiction. The biggest sin behind smoking weed is not just drunkenness, although that is an issue. The biggest sin behind smoking weed is idolatry, of saying to God that, God, you're good, but you're not good enough. And so what I have to do is I have to go and I have to involve myself in something else that's going to help me ease the pain and help me forget about the things that I'm going through. And so I'm leaning into this. And my friend said, I was in Colorado when it became legal. I was in California when it became legal. He said, I enjoyed smoking weed. He says, I wasn't trying to harm anyone. He said, until one day someone told me, they said, do you understand that there's no way for those who grow weed under some kind of normal circumstance? I realize you're sitting here going, what is happening? We're having a breakdown of weed at Vertical Church this morning. There's no way for people to keep up growing enough weed when it becomes legal with the amount of people who need it. So he was told by one of the police officers, he said, the only people that can keep the amount of supply that's needed in Colorado and California is the cartel. And he said, for the cartel to do it, it's all just a front on the front end. All the smoking weed is just to try to get people in the door, but what they really want them to do is do cocaine. What they really want to do is traffic human beings. What they really want to do is stuff that is evil and against God. And right now, I'm talking to young people all over the place and adults alike who are casually approaching all kinds of things that could pull them way downstream away from God. Casual use of drugs, casual use of alcohol, and all these things that Satan would love for them to take not seriously on the front end so that he could pull them in and drag them away and lead them to a place where their inside being starts to die. We're in a war. We're in a war. Let me tell you something. When you look around and you see people who are struggling with addictions and that sort of thing, what ends up happening is sometimes church people decide, hey, I don't want to have this conversation at church. I don't want to have to talk about drugs. I don't want to have to talk about sexual immorality. I don't want to have to talk about people's addictions. Listen to me, church. The same God that rescued you is still in the rescuing business. The same God that saved you and the same God that loves you loves all the people who are caught up in all kinds of addictions and all kinds of hurt. The same God that set you free because he loved you and he was willing to open up your eyes to how much he wanted to have a relationship with you, is also in the business of offering that to other people. And he does that through his church. You know what's crazy? I've got a list of people who are friends of mine who are out of church now. They're not doing church because they're struggling with sins and they're doing things. Guess what? If I invite them to church, they don't come. But do you know that if I called them on the way to the airport this afternoon, almost every single one of them would meet with me this week at a restaurant? It's not me they're sick of. It's the fact that they can't face what they're into, and they don't want to be around church people and have church people judge them. And so they're still in a relationship with me. But here's the temptation for me. I'm tired of chasing people around. I'm tired of having to call up and say, hey, listen, my thought is, hey, just come to church. Just do what God tells you to do. Just do the right thing. That's my thought. But sometimes it's a process, right? Listen, we need to make sure that our church is full of people, are you ready, who can't pass a background check. We need broken people. People who their past and the things they're going through. I turned to one of my staff members, and I think I shared this with you. I turned to one of my staff members. I said, please pick up everything that we need from Walmart. And she looked at me. She said, I can't do that. I said, what, are you allergic to Walmart? And she said, no, I'm not allowed in that Walmart. I said, well, okay, well, then how about you go to another Walmart? She said, actually, I have a nationwide band. I said, what are you talking about? She said, before I became a Christian, she said, I stole probably $100,000 of merchandise from Walmart. And she did, and did it on a contract. People would come to her and hand her a list, and she would go steal what they wanted. And that person is on our team serving God. Who's bigger, God or the enemy, right? See, you need to know that Jesus Christ is in the business of turning the table. He's in the business of taking broken people and people whose lives are a real mess and restoring them back into the kingdom, so that when they stand up and share their testimony, we say, what on earth? Are you kidding me? That's where you came from, and today you're married and you have children and you have all these things going on. The reason that that is possible is because Jesus stepped in and rescued that person. I want to join him with it. I want to be a part of that. Now listen to me. If you're going to get into this business right here, the restoring those who are struggling with sin, those who are struggling with addiction and immorality and selfishness and rebellion, all this and greed and all the things that may be a sin that's pulling someone away. Let me tell you something. Are you ready? This is a full contact sport. You're going to get knocked all over the place. We had a young lady, and God put it on my heart to get her into a recovery center. We brought her here to Georgia. My father got her a place on the board, because he's on the board. He got her a place that she could stay. We got her there. We spent out of our own money, some significant amount of money to try to help. She disappeared at Christmas time, off the map. Right in the middle of it. Hurting people do hurt people. I know Philip referred to that last week. Hurting people do hurt people. And people will use you along the way. The question, though, is for the people who don't know Christ, is that we draw a big box and we say, you know what, you're not going to use me. You're not going to take advantage of me. I'm not going to let that happen. But that is not the God we serve. The God we serve came to this earth, and he walked among sinners and broken people, and he loved us while we were still sinners. Has it been that long since you came to know Christ that you can't remember what a desperate situation it was before Christ? I imagine it hasn't been. And so I would encourage you to just look around and see people and start asking questions and start saying, hey, I see that you're hanging out with that person. Is that the person that you're dating? How is that relationship going? Ask questions. I hear that you're struggling with some addictions, and I want to talk to you about what that might mean. And just show people, hey, I am here to speak the truth, what does Ephesians say? In love. I'm here to discuss what you're dealing with. I'm here to talk about restoration, not because I'm judging you, not because I'm better than you, not because I have it all figured out, but because I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And because I can now see, I want to put my hand out and take your hand and help you see the truth. Satan is lying to people. He's telling them that this will make them happy, or this will make them happy, or this will make them happy, when all along he's enticing them and pulling them away so that he can kill, steal, and destroy. But the God we serve is a God of life. He's a God who breathes it back into people. I love the restoration business. Think about this, though. He also tells us that we're supposed to be carrying each other's burdens. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Number two, carry the burden of those who are overwhelmed by life. The fatherless, the widow, the single mom, the unwed mother, the person who is struggling with mental illness. Do you understand how challenging our situation is with mental illness right now? People are struggling. I want you to hear me on this. I believe that the answer to mental illness is a direct encounter with Jesus Christ. I do. I believe that that's at the heart of what's going on. But I also think we need to be careful, because it's complicated what people are dealing with. Some people are chemically imbalanced. Some people are dealing with certain disorders. But I'm going to tell you what I've watched happen over this last year and a half is that mental illness has caught on fire with people who are already struggling. Who in the world are we to judge someone? You understand that if we don't open our eyes up and address the situations around us, this could lead to someone's death. Pastor Rick Warren lost his son. Tony Dungy lost his son. Other people who are great Christian leaders have lost their children because of mental illness and the struggle that's going on. And you and I are called to come alongside people and carry their burdens. Yes, go restore those who are caught up in their own sin, but restore those who are burdened by life. Life is tough for some people. It's difficult for some people. And for us to come alongside and say, hey, listen, I love you. I understand. Or here's a better way to say it if you don't understand. By the way, if you want to minister to people, don't tell them you understand if you don't. But don't think that you can't help. Here's what I find. If you tell the person, I don't get it, but I want to help you anyway, there's a lot of trust there. There's a lot of opportunity there. Our foster care systems throughout the area that I'm living in Pinellas and Pasco County, our foster care system is just overwhelmed right now. Why is it overwhelmed? Because their parents are addicted to drugs. Do you understand that there is a certain type of foster care in our county where the at-risk, challenged kids, you bring them into your home. You get a card, and on that card is a number to call when they start acting up, and they will take that child out of your home and replace them with another home, and you can continue to receive your $1,700 a month check. There are literally people who have taken four or five kids so that they can make six-figure income, and they flip them in and out as soon as a kid speaks to them in a way that they don't like. They just call the number. Let me ask you something. If you go from one home to another home to another home, something starts to break inside. You understand that a lot of our foster children, they have the worst thing at the end. The worst thing's yet to come. They've moved from one home to another home to another home, but the worst is yet to come. It's called timing out. And do you know what those young people, the biggest thing that they struggle with, and some of you who your parents have gone on to be with the Lord, you deal with this a little bit too. They struggle with the issue of a forever home. Where do I go for Christmas? Where do I go? Who do I celebrate on Mother's Day? Who is my family? Who are my people? Do you think that anyone can solve all the brokenness and the hurt that's going on across that anyone can do that except for the church of Jesus Christ, there's no chance. Because those issues are issues of the heart. And the only person that can heal the heart from the inside out is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And he has chosen us, his church, to come alongside broken and hurting people and say, we love you. And to take the fatherless and to put them into families. To take the orphan and to give them a group of people who care about them. Listen, don't be afraid. Because really, when you think about it, it is a huge challenge. But the church of Jesus Christ literally is the only hope for this world. Amen. This isn't plan B. This is plan A, and there is no other plan. Jesus Christ established his church, and he wants his church to be the church, and he wants his church to care about people outside the four walls of the church. He wants us to hear about orphans and widows in their distress, and for our heart to be broken and to understand that a person who doesn't have compassion most likely doesn't have the Holy Spirit reigning on the throne of their life. Now, maybe there's some brokenness that they have to deal with as well, but we are to carry each other's burdens. So, man, listen, this is hard work. God wants us to go and help people who are struggling with addictions and all kinds of things. He also wants us to go around and help people who are broken and come beside them. Remember this. He doesn't want you to do it in your strength, though. He doesn't want you to do it by your power, by your own intellect, and he doesn't want you to figure all that. What he wants you to do is to acknowledge that if he doesn't show up, you have no hope of helping anyone. But if he shows up, then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And apart from him, guess what you can do? Not a thing. When we step into the room, we step into the room like a superhero in a Marvel movie, filled with spiritual gifts, filled with the power of God working in our hearts. When the world's on fire, the church comes to the rescue. When things are going on around us, we're the ones that are supposed to come to the rescue. Believe me, right now there's a big movement just to turn it all over to the government. The government will take care of everything. There is no government, not in the United States, not any government established around the world that is capable of dealing with the issues of the heart. But there is a kingdom. And that kingdom has a king. And he's not just any king. He's the King of Kings. And that kingdom is on the move. And he said that no one will stop him. Even the gates of hell will not prevail against him. The gates of hell means that he's coming knocking. He's on the mission of rescuing. He's in the mission of taking people who are broken and coming alongside. So we restore those who are struggling with sin. We carry the burdens of those who are overwhelmed by life. Look here a little bit further down. It says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. The third thing we need to do is commit to finding our place on the team without looking around and comparing ourselves to everybody else. Have you ever gotten caught in that? It's easy. Maybe you know you're not really thriving spiritually, you're not flourishing spiritually, and so you just go find someone else who's worse. And then you look and you say, well, thank God I'm not like that. It's the heart of what? A Pharisee. See, God doesn't want you looking around and comparing yourself with other people and having some kind of spiritual contest. I'm bad, but not that bad. Or I'm good, but not that good. And you're kind of going back and forth. He doesn't want that at all. What he wants you to do is to get before him and say, God, what load do you want me to carry? And it's between you and him. God, whatever it is that you want me to do, that's what I want to do. If you want me to stand in this place, that's where I'll stand. If you want me to serve this church, that's what I'll do. If you want me to serve this ministry, that's what I'll do. Whatever it is that you want me to do, I'm not going to look around and compare myself to all kinds of people. We have this incredible, there's a book, a business book called Built to Last that introduced this phrase, the idea of a big, hairy, audacious goal. You ever heard that? big, hairy, audacious goal. Kind of sounds gross. But anyway, a big, hairy, audacious goal. We have a vision at Vertical Church of having 1,000 leaders that are local and 23 leaders that are international. That's a crazy vision. I'm not talking about 1,000 members. I'm talking about 1,000 leaders. Since COVID and some of the challenges that we face, we don't know exactly where we stand as a church. We know it's under 300. So for us to think that we're, as a church, under 300 is going to mobilize 1,000 leaders, well, guess what? We don't even have them here yet. That's a crazy thought to think about. But the thing that concerns me more than the fact that they're not here yet is the fact that some of you who are already here have no intention of ever stepping up to lead. You came here to the church because you liked the music. You came here to the church because you liked the teaching. Some of you came to this area because it was time to retire. And your thought was, man, I need rest. I've done a lot for the kingdom. I've been there, done that. But I'm just telling you, not only do we want to see the people who are already a part of the church step up and say, God, by the way, you know when you get to retire? When you're dead. And then who knows what your assignment's going to be in heaven. By the way, when we get to heaven, we're doing some stuff. We're not playing harps and falling in and out of clouds. That sounds like the other place. But we're doing something. So every one of you in this room needs to know that if you're breathing and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you're not done yet. So what is it that God wants you to do? What load does He want you to carry? How does He want you to come alongside? We have a number of people who serve inside the church who take care of kind of infrastructure and operations, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit in the Belong Summit. But here's what I would encourage you to do. Aspire to be someone who is a hands-on person. Someone not that just helps. We need all the people that help with finances and leadership team, all different types of people to help make sure it's all in place. But I'm telling you, if you're not called to be on one of those teams, that doesn't mean that there's not a place for you to serve. Let me tell you what I would do if I was a lay person who came to Vertical Church. There are three things that I would beg to be able to do if I came to this church. Now, it's not sing. Don't be afraid. I'm a rapper. All right, so anyway, see, they laughed. All right, so it's three things that I would love to do here. The first thing, I would love to be a door greeter. I would love that. And I see our door greeters are incredible and everything, and I get out there, I cause them problems because I try to get in their way. But I like to greet people. You know why? I like people. And I'm happy that they came to our church. And I'm excited about what it is that they're going to do and what they're going to be a part of our church. And so I would be a door greeter, and if people started coming in different doors, I would pick the door no one wants. Just because I like to be around, I like to be helpful, I like to feel like what I'm doing is good, right? The other thing I would do is ask Tracy if she would allow me to be on her team so that I could work with fourth and fifth graders. Fourth and fifth graders are the coolest people on the planet because they're not yet middle school. Now, when they get to middle school, right, they have all these challenges, they face all these difficult things, it's very hard. But fourth and fifth graders are a blast. And I would love to see us, and she knows, I've always told her, we could do great things with fourth and fifth grade. I've seen incredible ministries done for fourth and fifth grade. You know another group that I would almost insist to be able to serve here at this church, and this church is full of incredible people this age, and that's college ministry. I love the college kids at our church. These kids are incredible. They have a heart for missions. They have a heart for worship. They're incredible people. But one thing I've found is that college kids are like youth group kids, but their parents aren't around to tell them no. Right? And so it can get a little bit crazy. And they even, in their mind, they're like, I don't really know what to do, but I'm supposed to be a grown adult. And so they're dealing with those kind of things. And I would love to come alongside college people. Now listen, I'm going to stop. Because those are the three, those are my top three. I have a list of about 20 things I would love to do at our church. I don't want to be involved in snacks because I can't eat any of it and it just hurts me the whole time. But besides that, there's hardly anything else that I wouldn't like to be a part of. I love the church. I love the church. I love this church. I love the church universal all around. And I love the idea of being able to be there and to be able to serve and to be a person. Now, here's what I would do if I was a brand new person at a church. I would walk up to the pastor and I would ask him, I said, listen, I got three things I want to do. But who really cares? What do you need me to do? What do you need me to do? What is going on right now that you need me to step up and do? Because listen, we got a little lost with that spiritual gift stuff. I'm into spiritual gifts. Well, there was a time in the late 80s, early 90s where people were walking around and explaining why they weren't going to do anything for anybody because it wasn't their gift. Hey, brother, we need you to help move those tables over. I would love to move those tables over, but I'm a prophet, not a servant. You know, and I like to do it, right? Well, let me tell you, bring your prophet right over here, right? God wants us to be willing to serve wherever it is that he needs us. In fact, you do understand that Jesus' love mission for you and I was a mission of obedience to the Father. He said to the Father, if you're sending me, then I will go. I will walk. Can you imagine Jesus waking up as a baby in an earth suit? What a disappointment. Can you imagine? You're at the right hand, you're right there with your Father in heaven, ruling over heaven, and now you are a baby. And now you got 33 years to live on this earth. You know why he did it? Because the Father asked him to. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, right? Hopefully it's good enough for you, that just whatever it is that you want me to do. And then this last thing is this idea of support the preaching and teaching ministry of your church. Look at what it says right there. It says, in verse 6, nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructors. We need to support the preaching and teaching ministry of our church and help it expand. We don't want to be a church that's just multiple campuses, but a church that's multiple expressions of the church. So whether it's another local campus or whether it's our online ministry, whether it's vertical groups, whether it's our student ministry, children's ministry, men's ministry, listen, the Word of God is what changes people. Do you remember when you first started getting excited about reading your Bible? You're reading through there. One thing you probably thought, especially if you were reading through the Old Testament, is this is nuts. These people are crazy. And as you're reading through and you're thinking through and everything like that, and then you get into some principles, and all of a sudden, you know what I learned from the Word of God? Everything. Everything. I learned how to talk to other people when I read, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of my mouth, but only what is helpful for others according to their needs. I learned how to listen to people when I read, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, to be slow to become angry. I learned how to forgive people when I realized that Jesus said, you need to forgive so that you can be forgiven. I learned how to love my wife when I read in the scripture that I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I learned generosity through the scripture. I learned parenting through the scripture. These 66 books aren't like any other books. These 66 books tell a story from Genesis all the way to Revelation, a story of God's redeeming love, with one hero at the center, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there at the beginning, all the way through. I'm just going to tell you, when the Word of God is taught, people are set free. Amen. The truth will set you free. Amen. I'm going to tell you, Philip's heart is not to be famous. That's not his heart. In fact, he told me, he said, I think God is going to bless this church and we're going to grow and we're going to reach all kinds of people. He said, I don't even necessarily feel comfortable with that. That's not even my thing, is to try to be famous. But it's not about Philip teaching the word. It's about everyone who's teaching the word in small groups and in children's ministry and student ministry, all across the board. A bunch of us stepping up and teaching the word. How can a young man be set free? By living according to God's word. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Man, this teaching ministry is something that we can get excited about. You know how you can get this expanded? Just tell your friend, hey, I listened to this message. It's pretty cool. It really changed me a little bit, and send it out. Just send it to them. This little podcast that's been put together that Desi and others and Philip have put together, it's an outstanding podcast. It's a lot of fun. Take time, listen to the podcast and hear, and then send it to a friend. Hey, this message really meant something to me, and just send it. And just look for ways to expand the reach of God's word being taught. There will come a day where the scripture says that people will only want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. That day is here. All across America, the church will face pushback and persecution for teaching the Word of God as it's written. People will call preachers who believe that traditional marriage is between one man and one woman, they will call them hateful. People who believe that the only way to heaven is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ will be called ignorant. What we believe at one time was widely accepted in the 50s and 60s. No games were played on Wednesday night. No games were played on Sunday morning. The church was respected. The church had influence. But there's coming a day where only people who are willing to listen to the culture and preach based on what the culture wants to hear will be the people who have a little bit of an audience. But at that moment, God's people will stand up. And God's church will expand, because here's what you need to know about the church. Back us into a corner and we catch on fire. The church in China, the church in Iran, the church in all the different places where it's persecuted, it burns on fire, not to be stopped, not to be altered in any way or to be pushed back against in a way that would keep it from expanding and growing. You know why? Because God's church can't be stopped. But we are going to have to stand up for the truth. And we're going to have to be willing to speak the truth in love over and over and over again. And we all together need to support this. Now, last thought on this. There is a verse in Hebrews that some people don't like. It says that you, all of you, ought to be teachers by now. You say, no, I'm not a teacher. I don't have a spiritual gift of teaching. Jesus said to go and make disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is a student, right? So you need to know this. You are called upon by God to teach somebody, whether it's one-on-one in a coffee shop, whether it's one-on-one in a Chili's that I'm going to work really hard to get here to Blairsville. It's a long weekend for me without Chili's. Hey, so you know, I'm going to try to get it up here. Wherever it may be, we're called to teach and instruct other people and instruct them in what? Not our own thoughts, not our own opinions, but the Word of God. My hope and prayer is that God will light something in your heart that will show you, hey, you know what? I want to be in the business of restoring broken people. I want to be in the business of coming alongside and putting my arm around people who are burdened with the things of this life and bringing the hope of the good news of Christ. I want to be someone who finds my place in the church, and that once I know what my load is, I'm not concerned if everybody else is doing what they're supposed to be doing. I'm too focused on what it is that God's called me to do. Like Nehemiah, when everybody was pestering him, he said, I'm not coming off this wall. This is what God's called me to do. I want to see us to be like that. And I want to see us be so committed to the Word of God being taught that whether it's in a family retreat setting, youth, children, inside of this worship area right here or at Hiawassee, wherever it may be online, that we continue to push out the Word of God, knowing that the truth will set you free. Amen. Worship team, y'all come on up here. I don't want y'all to be concerned and think that I'm sick. I promised Philip that I would preach 30 minutes. I think I'm at 34 anyway. All right, so I made a commitment. All right, so by the way, those last verses are awesome, and we'll talk about those at some point. They're very good. If you would, stand where you are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, the God of heaven, looking down into this gym, in many ways a room full of missionaries, people who were saved by a divine intervention of God in their life. But God, if there's anyone in this room that doesn't know you as their Savior, God, I pray that their eyes will be open, that you love them, that you care about them, that you want to restore them back into relationships with the Father. Jesus, we saw what you did by studying the Gospels. You came and you did exactly what the Father asked you to do. In fact, you even said, I always do what the Father asked me to do. God, help us to be like that. Help us to listen. Help us to obey. Help us to lay down our own agenda and embrace the kingdom agenda that you've called us to. God, your ways are higher than our ways. What it is that you're up to is greater than anything that we could be up to. You can do more than we ask or imagine. Greater things are yet to come, God. Help us to follow hard after you. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it. In your name, amen. Let's sing this worship song today.